Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking into hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, another couple of hours. And included in those next couple of hours will be another chance to get qualified for the Dr. Pepper Perfect season.
Can't wait.
We are, where are we at now? 12. We've got 12 of the 23 in, so we're looking for contestant 13 tonight out of 23 who will then compete this fall. The Ultimate College Football Survivor Pick'em Contest to win tickets to the SEC Championship game from Dr. Pepper, the official drink of fans, plus $250 cash money from Papa John's Pizza. Jeff will be asking today's question. So get out your almanacs and start sifting through 1980, 81, and 82.
You would be correct.
Yeah, we have 12 contestants in.
By the way, I did the double the other day, Braver. My girl Tilly was being a little demanding. I was watching a little Columbo doing some work, so I went for my exercise a little late. Hot one. Had to roll into Golden Pantry. Yes, I loitered in the beer cave again and got me one of those big 20-ounce Dr. Peppers for the walk back home. Boy, it was good on a hot day.
On a hot day.
Good cold Dr. Pepper. Oh, that Golden Pantry beer. I'm thankful that the Golden Pantry staff and have known members of the Griffith family for a long time, and, of course, Scott and Brenda, that they have not put a no loitering sign up on the beer cave yet. But if you are in 5 points and it's hot, that's a good place to go stand around.
Just be careful you don't end up like Jasper Beardley and get stuck in there like in the Quickie Mart. Yeah.
33 degrees in there.
That's a good temperature on a hot summer day, for sure. All right, let's get into today's Juicy 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, we do have a word today that I guess this is really – it's been a quiet preseason so far. We like it that way. This is the first bit of negative news, and that is that Tyreek McGee could at least miss the opener after hurting his foot Saturday at scrimmage. Now, Georgia is only playing Austin Peay in its opener, but 4 to 6 weeks, I guess, could potentially mean he's not available for that game at South Carolina either. But, Jeff, let's go with the worst case, 6 weeks. How does Georgia overcome Tyreek McGee's absence?
Yeah, that's a big blow. He's a good defensive back, and he's one of the more experienced guys. I mean, he's a junior, so I would say, you know, he's right there, obviously, with J.R. Reed and with DeAndre Baker. South Carolina has got a great stable of wide receivers, and we know how Missouri can throw the football in week four. So that's definitely a blow, and I know Georgia's always going to be cautious on the injury front. Georgia has a magnificent medical staff, but – you know, even if he were available for South Carolina, you know, he won't have that game under his belt against Austin Peay. So what this does, it probably, you know, raises the stakes and pushes one of those freshmen slash redshirt freshmen, whether it's Tyson Campbell, William Poole, Chris Smith, knocks those guys up a notch.
I mean, aren't we basically now after Baker, the only guy who played last season at all at corner is Speed, right? That's here right now. He's the only other one that really saw any action last year with McGee being injured.
Yes. So, I mean, and I think Amir Speed and Mark Webb, those guys are going to be terrific players, and they've kind of been waiting in the wings. Unfortunately, Webb got hurt back in the spring, and those might be, when Georgia's in a nickel, you might see Reed, Baker, LeCount, Speed and Webb as a five guys. But Georgia's got a lot of talent back there. But it's just that experience. And one of the things that Kirby was talking about when he was interviewed about Richard LeCount was, and I get what he said Richard's always out there trying to make a play, trying to make an interception. But in that secondary, playing your assignment is what is most important. And I think that's probably what Kirby's and Mel Tucker's number one concern is right now. We got talent back there. Georgia wouldn't have recruited those guys if they couldn't play. But can they carry out their assignment first? And I know everybody wants to make a big play, but, you know, it's just kind of an example we were talking about, you know, with a guy like DeAndre Baker, there might be some games he might not get more than three or four chances to even make a play. I mean, if he's having another great season, teams are going to pick on that other side or pick on that other guy.
Yeah, I mean, last year he saw less than half the targets teams threw against Georgia last season, and, I mean, chances are that number could even dwindle this year. I'm sensing like momentum is building that we see just Tyson Candle right from the jump starting on the other side.
I mean, I think they really like speed and Webb. I know that. And, you know, one of the things, too, about Webb, he's got the size, he's Swift's cousin, and the fact that he moved over from receiver, he's going to be a guy with ball skills. So, again, they're players there, but just not a ton of experience.
There's no experience, yeah.
That's where we're going to miss McGee for sure.
Well, hopefully it'll be more on the four-week side, and that'll only cost him against Austin Peay. I don't know what I was looking over some of Austin Peay's numbers from last year. They actually were fifth in FCS. Which mm-hmm. is it? No, FCS in rushing offense. So it looks like they might be – because, you know, I hate it sometimes when these teams, like, they come in and everyone likes to throw now, but then you just know that when you're – like Samford from last year.
Right.
Because you just know, like, the game's going to last 4 hours because there's just going to be a ton of incomplete passes and the clock stops. So I still like it when – programs like Austin Peay roll in, and they might run more than they throw, because at least that keeps the clock moving.
By the way, I will say this with Samford, though. Chris Hatcher's a great coach, and he and Kirby have known each other forever, going back to their days at Valdosta State. And that fourth quarter, when it was academic, I think those guys had a couple of winks and nods going for each other. That clock kept – it was a fast fourth quarter,
okay,
which was good because Samford played well. You know, neither team wanted to get anybody hurt. They were a contender in their conference. We were a contender in our conference. It was a fast fourth quarter. But you're exactly right. You know, some of these teams that are going to throw it 55, 60 times a game, it's like, oh, my gosh, this thing's going to take forever. And, hey, if it's a four-hour game, if there's action the whole time, that's fine. But, man, when you got 30 seconds between plays and then all the TV timeouts.
Right. And the game is, you know, hopefully a blowout, because that's what Georgia should be doing in those instances. Moving on to the 5-5, Jeff, I saw this question on the old internet, and I thought, well, you know, that's a good question. So I'm going to ask Jeff that question because, as we all know, Jeff proclaims that he is from the pessimist school of Dooley and Munson.
You can't help it if you grew up in that era.
Well, and I mean, here we are now, heading, we're 18 days away from the 2018 season. Georgia's a heavy favorite to win the East for the second straight year. There's just such a good – there's a vibe in Athens that – well, I'm going to say, like, hadn't been – actually, the thing about being a Bulldog fan is we've always felt really good about Georgia. It's just we've always also been, you know, let down so many times by it. But I don't know. I feel different. Like, I feel like the preseason hype this year is justified, at least. There's something to back it up. But we all know – here's – what would Munson be worrying about right now with this team?
Well, you know, we got to go to both Columbias early.
All right.
Where Kentucky falls and LSU, that road schedule, and we're just so young in that secondary, and we need more depth on the defensive line. You know, we're very young on the offensive line. We're very talented, but very young there. And I hope
everything.
These backs can stay healthy.
He'd be worried about everything.
And I don't know who's going to punt for us. Yeah, absolutely. That's the way it is. The thing about this Georgia team is that it is extremely talented. We don't need to take for granted some of the individual plays at number one and number three made last season that really, frankly, made a very good football team, a great football team. So we might not be as good at those very top two spots, but 1 through 60, this is one of the most talented Georgia teams we've ever had. But, again, now it's going to be tough over there. That first road game at South Carolina, you know, so that if we're losing 17-13 going into the fourth quarter, you know, how's this team going to react? Because – Chubb and Michelle and Roquan and Lorenzo Carter, those guys, and Isaiah Wynn, those guys, those leaders aren't there. So that's, I guess, one of those situations where coaches or generals would say that's when character reveals itself.
Well, I follow this on the old tweet machine. It's Sports Source Analytics, and they tweeted something out yesterday. It was the top 25 Georgia rushing performances over the last 13 years, and Nick Chubb in 2014 was number one. Knowshon in 08 was two. Gurley in 12 was three. Chubb was number four. Sony Michel was six and seven. Chubb was also nine. So basically there, between Chubb and Michel, that's half of the top 10 rushing performances by Georgia backs in the last 13 years. There was also this, though. DeAndre Swift still checked in at number 20 last year, you know, playing behind both of those guys as a true freshman. The biggest thing with Chubb and Michel that this team won't have, that last year's team did have, two guys that I could convince myself there are games there's no chance we're losing because Chubb and Michelle won't let it happen.
No,
and that was the Florida game and the Tech game last year. It was that it just that veteran leadership and that presence that they've had that they didn't come back to lose to Florida again. They didn't come back to lose to Tech again. We won't be able to say that about any game this fall.
I'll give you an example, too. When Georgia was rolling past Vanderbilt, Sony rips off like a 20-yard run. And I'm not at all ripping Mecole Hardman. I love him, but he was new to the position at receiver. He rips off this 20-yard first-down run. We're up by three touchdowns. Sony immediately bounces up and gets on Mecole about his blocking downfield. It's like, you got to make that block right there. So having those guys, that was like having a great player who was also a coach on the field.
He should have kicked him out of the huddle like Ryan Tannehill did. Hey.
So that's the type of thing that Georgia could have. Not going to have at the start of the season, or at least it's not going to be as evident as it was with him. But leadership will emerge. How good is that leadership? We'll see. But in the end, this is going to be a very, very talented team. I just so wish January the 8th would have gone right. And I wish Zamir hadn't hurt his knee. I think Zamir's looking pretty good. Should be ready for that Tech game.
Zamir hurt his knee?
Wink,
wink. I haven't heard about that.
Wink, wink. And I think as devastating as that was, and that'll always hold the penthouse suite and the Bulldogs Heartbreak Hotel, I think the one difference between this one and Penn State – and even the Bama loss in 2012 was that you get the feeling this was just the start for Georgia, as devastating as it was. And you don't know if you're going to get back. There are no guarantees. But I would bet my life savings that Kirby Smart and Georgia are going to get back and are going to cash in.
No, there have been, like, recent teams to appear in there, like Michigan State, that felt very much like one-hit wonders. Mm-hmm. And – yeah, I mean, Georgia didn't, and that did help to overcome the devastation of what happened back in January. You know, if there was more of a feeling like, boy, this was lightning in a bottle, and this was your one crack to get it, you came so close and it didn't happen. I mean, it stinks either way, but it'd feel a lot worse right now. But, I mean, we're sitting here right now and looking like Georgia's in position to potentially have a very similar season to the one last year, with the exception of, again, maybe they won't be beating Tennessee 41-0 and just clobbering everyone. There might be a few more, nail biters, but the record should end up coming out about the same.
If you want to make yourself just feel better, just pull up the roster and look at the numbers 1 through 9.
What do you mean? The jersey numbers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good-looking group.
It is a good-looking group.
What numbers does Swift wear?
He's 7, isn't he?
He's 7. Okay.
I mean, I know like Fields and Brenton Cox are 1. Zamir and Tyson Campbell are both 3.
Fromm is 11. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, Swift is he's the new Magnificent 7.
Oh, I love it. That was my favorite quarterback, too, in the pros, Johnny Elway.
Jim Chaney will be hearing from the 960 The Ref Twitter account this fall to run the ball for all those Heisman futures on DeAndre Swift.
How about this?
He is on Twitter, right, Chaney?
I don't know.
No. I'll 960 The Ref will find him. Hey, why does the local radio station keep bugging me about Swift's touches this fall? That's me.
I was just flipping through the roster here, and you know, another guy who we'll see, and maybe it's midseason, but at some point, maybe D'Angelo Gibbs is a guy who kind of quietly starts a season, and it starts coming. Because this guy was a big-time recruit, and he was playing early last year. Obviously, there was something that happened later in the year. He didn't play, wasn't even traveling that much. He was out of school in the spring. So hopefully, whatever the problem was, he's on his way to getting it solved, if it's not completely solved. And obviously, spring practice could have helped. But what was most important was getting everything that was out of place into place. And I would think, you know, he's a guy whose name hadn't gotten mentioned a lot. And maybe that's a good thing for him. He could come in under the radar some.
That's my expectation with him is I would think he'd be ready to go more middle later on in the season anyway, because it's a different circumstance than what Georgia went through with Trenton Thompson, where Thompson was an established veteran and he was able to just come back from in absence with the team and come right back. But Gibbs is a guy who didn't play a ton as a freshman last year and then did miss the end of the year and then wasn't here for the spring, so I would think it would take him a little bit longer just to be able to jump right back into it.
No, I agree.
And have an impact.
I agree.
But, yeah, I mean,
he can help.
But he's the kind of guy I would think that you're – again, when you start thinking about potentially the Florida game is only the halfway point of the season, that as the season stretches out, the idea of, you know, having this big-time blue-chip prospect, you know, suddenly be ready to go later on in the year – and a little bit fresher than everybody else at that point. If he doesn't play much up to that point, then, yeah. And that's just another feather in the cap there, maybe.
And I'm just telling you, if you look through this roster, and obviously these freshmen are all unproven. None of them have played a game.
They are? Not what I read on the internet.
It is.
These guys are all stars.
It's as good a looking roster. I'm not saying taking the top 15 players out of it. It's as good a looking roster, like if you had to pick your top 50, 60 guys as we've ever had.
Yeah. Now, I love, like, you know, it's just the college football. We're funny because Georgia signed an unbelievable class in 2017. And now those guys have been in the program for a year plus and are coming into their sophomore seasons. But there's way more excitement about freshmen than those guys.
But the deal is,
they're already like yesterday's news.
Realistically, those guys you're talking about, there's a much greater chance that more of them contribute this year.
100%.
Right.
Well, but I mean, everyone's always so hyper-focused on the freshmen.
And you know, we're a little extra than any other school.
Right.
Because of 34, Herschel. Yes. Who did have
– Gurley had a good freshman year too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He was something.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, I don't know if you saw this, but in Cleveland, I think it's Bud Light. They're going to be putting these locked coolers in bars across the city of Cleveland.
Okay.
And when Cleveland wins its first game, now they've won one in the last 2 years. They were 1-31.
So this is assuming they win a game.
When or if they win their first game, all those coolers full of Bud Light will be unlocked, and the beer will be free.
Love a good Bud Light.
So, Jeff, the question is, when, if they will at all, will Cleveland fans be able to enjoy an ice-cold free Bud Light this season?
Well,
they do have Chubb now, so we can't say they're going to go 0-16.
As Coach McGill would say, let's consult Dr. Webster and pull up the schedule here, my friend.
Well, I got it for you.
All right.
They open at home against Pittsburgh.
I hate it they put the preseason here. They ain't beating Pittsburgh. They ain't winning in New Orleans. Could they beat the – that's a night game. Oh, my God, what a dreadful –
that's a Thursday night game.
Whoa, the Jets and the Browns.
They met last year.
Oh.
Jets beat them by a field goal last year. By the way, the open against Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh only beat them by a field goal last year.
Yeah, that's a tough game in Cleveland, Big Ben going home. I'd still have to lean Pittsburgh. If they don't get the Jets
– at Oakland?
Nah, they ain't beating the Raiders.
Home Baltimore?
Nah.
Superchargers?
Nah.
At Tampa?
Nah.
At Pitts?
No.
Home Kansas City?
No.
Home Atlanta?
No. At the Bengals could be it. Jets and Bengals are your two best chances.
And then they're at Houston, home Carolina, at Denver on a Saturday. Home Cincinnati and at Baltimore.
Cincy at home, maybe. They ain't doing any better than 3-13. I'd be shocked.
Over 5.5 for the Browns.
Let me just.
You've been watching Hard Knocks?
Let me just warn you on them.
You haven't watched Hard Knocks, though, have you?
No, I haven't.
That team looks good.
Tell you, like I said, I used to watch NFL films, like, the 1985 Detroit. Like, God, these guys didn't make the playoffs, did they? Now they went 3-13. I was watching all these highlights.
Well, after Hard Knocks last week, I got them at 16-0. I can't see a loss anywhere on their schedule. Except you can clearly tell that Hugh Jackson's two coordinators, who are Greg Williams and Todd Haley, neither one of them have any respect for him.
No, but I mean, Haley's been a head coach. Greg Williams is a long-time defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So it's basically sounds like a deal where Haley's going to run the offense, Williams is going to do the defense, and then I guess with Hugh, are we going to punt or go for it?
Well, there was like
it's dysfunctional.
Well, and there was a situation last week where there were a couple players who were. They were, like, banged up, like, but they probably could have practiced and maybe should have practiced, but Hugh Jackson was just like, I'm not taking any chances. And Todd Haley was like, that's soft. And he was arguing. And then Hugh Jackson said, well, if you're a coach sometime, and it's my call, though, and blah, blah, blah. And
oh, boy.
Yeah. But you could tell it was just like, those two guys are waiting for him to get fired because one of them will be the interim head coach. But he's 1-31.
Yeah. And I feel bad. I know he's had these horrible things happen. He lost was his mother and his brother.
Within a couple of weeks of each other, yes.
Didn't Todd Haley do something goofy on the sidelines once when he was at Arizona?
Probably. Didn't he coach the Chiefs, too?
Maybe that's where
he was.
He was
the head coach of the Chiefs.
And he was the Steelers' OC. I thought he did a pretty good job with Pittsburgh. But I swear I thought he did something on the sidelines once. Maybe like push another an assistant.
I remember when
Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. Buddy Ryan, like, socked him, right?
Yeah.
And June Jones was the head coach, wasn't he?
Of Houston, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a staff, wasn't it?
Not too bad. Finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5 with the NFL. Browns going 16-0. What's the NFL team that's got the best chance to make the playoffs and the team in the NFL that has the worst chance to make the playoffs if we were putting percentages on teams' chances to get to the postseason?
I would say the New England Patriots have the best chance to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Weak division, their pedigree, their history, and, oh, yeah, they've been to three of the last four Super Bowls, and they've still got Brady and Belichick. I'm going to give
you. What would you say? Is it almost 100% that they're in the playoffs?
It's as close. I mean, the only way they don't is if Brady got hurt. But even then, you still think they could go 9-7 and win that division. The weakest chance, as tempting as Cleveland is, and I got to admit, I'm a little spiteful because I was driving the bus with them last year, and I know they
with
got
the Browns.
No.
Oh,
they've got a brutally tough division. They don't have their idiot quarterback for the first three games. I think it's Tampa Bay.
Tampa to be worse than even the Bills.
The odds of making the playoffs. I just see them as a lock to finish fourth in that division.
Yeah, that's a good call because the rest of that division is solid.
Yes.
Between the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers, who all three made the playoffs last year.
And all three have excellent quarterbacks who aren't idiots.
Correct. Yeah, Tampa's actually a good – you got a good case for that because even the three bad teams in the AFC East do get to play each other
mm-hmm.
multiple times, whereas the Bucs, they've got a – yeah.
Like I said, I'm not saying they're the worst team, but I think they've got the least chance.
Yeah. No, I you know what? That's a good call.
Because, I mean, the most teams you can get from a division into the playoffs is obviously three because you got four divisions, two wild cards. So I see them finishing fourth.
Yeah. And Winston, who when he's not being an idiot, he is good.
Yeah.
But which means it is impactful that he's going to miss three games.
Of course. They're going to be 0-3 in arguably the toughest division.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. I wanted to say Tampa, but I mean, I wanted to say the Bills, but when you think about it, I mean, the Bills do get to play the Jets and Dolphins four times.
And they were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
This quarterback, Josh Allen, it's like they haven't played again. I know they played the preseason, the NFL, but it's like, is he already a bust?
Yes, he is.
It's crazy.
With Tampa, just looking at their schedule right here, maybe it doesn't matter that they're going to be without Winston for the first three games, because wouldn't they be 0-3 anyway? They're at New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't see any way they could be, best case, 1-2. Best case.
Even with them.
I agree.
Yeah, so maybe it's a wash for them to not even have them for those first three. All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solutions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.